for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, the girls turn one more year older. It's our anniversary show. Woohoo! Hillary is joining us from her undisclosed location in the Carolinas.
Yeah, I honestly don't know exactly where. Apparently, I'm near Murphy, North Carolina.
Oh, Murphy. Okay, I've heard of that. Yeah.
I don't know if this is what you named your dog after, but there's nothing here. I am in the beginning of a horror movie where it's just like, oh my God, there's this like cheap cabin online. Let's rent it for a family getaway. It's only $300 for 4 days. And when you walk into the door, awesome, your entire phone goes into SOS mode and is completely useless.
Oh, you know what though? That could be very freeing if you think about it, especially because you, as a business owner, you are chained to your phone. So
absolutely. So for me, I love that it's creepy. That kids' room is like full of like toys from like the 50s. Like for me, this was a fucking knockout win.
Nice.
You know, there's this weird, like, ultra-modern jacuzzi that does not fit the aesthetic to anything else, and it's in this huge bathroom. And I'm like, that's going to somehow grab you, and it's going to be that, you know, watching the water go crimson that I love seeing so much.
Yeah, the jacuzzi that eats people.
Yeah, there's some weird acid that comes out or some, you know, smoke that knocks you unconscious. I know it. Get out of the tub, kids.
Nice. I love it. I love it so much. All right. So yeah, I thought this was our 4 year anniversary, but to my credit, not being a complete ditz, but this is our 3 year anniversary, but we are entering our fourth season. So that is why I got confused. But yes, this is 3 years. And
it's been that long.
What did we say? 67 episodes. And that's 67 episodes that you and I have done together. That's not counting the ones that I've done with other people, but the ones that you and I have done together is 67. And you joined the fold after 4 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Basket case.
Yeah. If you guys want to hear that first episode we did together, Basket Case is fantastic. I love it. It's just the sound quality sucks because we didn't understand the, you know, not
how sound works.
Yeah, how sound works. We didn't understand how, especially recording in we recorded it in my bedroom at my mom's with the wood floors.
We were like both like huddled together because we absolutely didn't understand what we were doing. Oh, God.
No, we were like sitting, you were on the bed, I think, and I was in a chair, and we were just like, we just had the mic sitting on a table between
just right in between us, but like we were also very close to it.
We reached out and we got so many fan questions. I wrote all of them down on these wonderful note cards, and then briefed you for a couple because some of them were some thinkers.
Yeah, for sure.
And I thought about doing these in like a specific order, but then I was like, that's not very manic of us, is it?
Yeah, that's not us. That's not.
That's not
or it's the, yeah, you know, the overanalyze, this is how we're going to do it. It's going to be chronological and alphabetized by, you know, the fans' user names, but then we get here and it's just like, oh, I forgot one quite. Fuck it all, burn it all down.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we do things. So, all right. So I'm picking random questions out and I'm asking them, and that's what we're gonna do. So
I love questions in a hat.
All right, here we go. Is there a movie you regret watching?
So regret watching? No, that's too far.
Okay.
The one episode that I regret doing is Train to Busan.
Oh yeah. So fun fact about Train to Busan. Okay. So we both love this movie. There was no question
Yeah.
about it. This was not a lack of passion for the film.
Right.
This was a situation where Hillary and I normally record the show between 9 and 9:30 on a Sunday. We in the morning.
Yes. Yeah, we are AMers.
Rammers, right? So this was a situation where we decided that we were going to record at like 6 o'clock at night, 5 o'clock at night, something like that. And we recorded it and we were not on our game. We were tired. And then at one point, Murphy got a hold of the squeaker that was inside his lamb. And I tried to get the squeaker out of Murphy's mouth and Murphy hauled off and bit me. And like bit me, not
Yeah.
like, a little puppy bite, but like a fucking bite. I was so I was so thrown off that Hillary then had to ride in and salvage the episode. And by then it was like unsalvageable. We do, the episode is still there. I
Yeah.
haven't yanked it, but it's not, it was not our quote best work.
No, yeah, and I when I re-listen to it, when I revisit it every so often,
You
you know, like,
do? I've
yeah.
never, no. I you know what? To be honest with you, I think I've listened to it one time and that was in editing and I've never listened to it again.
Yeah, no, but like I mispronounce names and then I'm just like, oh my God, I sound just like racist as fuck. And just all around, like, the movie is so good. And I was like so excited to do like a foreign film, you know, February and, you know, like show love to all of these other films that I just love so much that like that one hurts. But
Yeah.
regret watching a movie? Absolutely not. Like that, there's just no.
No, yeah, we don't. It's interesting. I think probably the movie that I think I probably won't watch again, and it's not because of, like a content issue or anything like that, but I thought that we were so excited to do Maniac Cop, right? And then when I watched it, I was just like, meh. So
Yeah.
for me, Maniac Cop will not be a second, third, fourth watch. It's just kind of like I did it, so I can say that I did it, but it
Right.
was just it. But by and large, it was pretty meh to me.
Yeah.
To me, that would be the only movie that I want to, I would say, regret watching, but like that's the only movie where I was like, eh. But to our credit, the episode turned out great. Like we found lots of fun stuff to talk about that related to our own personal lives and
Yeah, the movie
cops.
wasn't like the best, like, you know, podcasting type movie, but yeah, no, I do absolutely love the episode. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so have you had any bad interactions other than, that podcasting interaction,
one.
or good podcasting interactions with people? And I guess I will answer this first. Like, I will say 99.9% of my interactions with the podcasting world have been positive. With the exception of Tommy, obviously, but everybody else that I have talked to, everybody else that I've reached out to for training, everybody else that I've, wanted to sort of shoot the shit about the business side of things has been really, open to it, nice, kind, understanding, not dicky, not. Yeah. So I've had great positive experiences with it. I don't know because I handle most of the fan mail. I don't
Absolutely.
know if you have had any negative or I know you've had positive interactions, but like I don't think you've had any negative ones is what I'm saying.
No, yeah, like, you know, everything, the way that, you know, since Erin, you know, was like, Erin's the mama to Manic Movie Monday podcast, like, hands down, without a doubt. So she is the one that, like, you know, deals with, you know, fans and interactions and emails. And, you know, I really just get to watch horror movies and come on and discuss it with one of my best friends. Like, that, my job, quote unquote, is the easiest, best part I have only had positive interactions, like George from our weekly, and him reaching out to us, being on his pod, the other podcast we did, with the two women, like they were so warm and welcoming, just like all around everybody. Like, in order to get to me, you have to go through Erin, realistically, which isn't, maybe the best way to set it up, other than Erin is so nice that she is like, you are so warm and welcoming that by the time I show up, I can just be who I am,
Yeah,
you know?
it's
And
true.
yeah, like, Erin's absolutely like the big heart, sunshine and rainbows and puppy dog kisses and all of those things. So I have never had, like, I don't even know what I would do with a negative podcasting experience. I would be absolutely floored.
We only had one bad review, and that was we had this guy come on and accuse us of misandry, which is the opposite of misogyny. And to that to that comment, we don't hate men. We hate rapists, pedophiles, and abusers.
And toxic masculinity
Toxic
and
masculinity. But
yeah.
unfortunately, that happens to be perpetrated mostly, let's just throw it out there, by dudes. So, no, we think that there are great men out there. We have great male friends. We have
For
great male
sure.
fans. We have loving and supportive partners who are also men. But no, we don't, for every, super nice guy out there, there's like the entire cast of Promising Young Woman. That's a fucking thing, man. Like,
Yeah, no,
that's a,
if our
you
like
know.
context like offends you, it's probably you. Like I'll say that out loud. If you're listening to us and just having this negative visceral reaction, we're probably talking about you. That's you.
What's funny about that though is that comment came after we did Slumber Party Massacre. Slumber Party Massacre was written, the essential short story that it comes from was written by a lesbian, okay? That movie itself is a very female-centric, we don't really need men in this film type of
Yep.
film. So as such, our review of it or our reaction to it was also very like these guys are completely useless in this movie. Like, and
Well, like, tell me you haven't seen the movie without telling me you haven't seen the movie. Yeah,
exactly. So, like,
like.
yeah, when we got that review, I was just, I remember I was at work and I saw, it was like, you have, six new comments. And, it's usually like four of them are Nelson. Shout out to Nelson.
Nelson.
We love you. And so I, got like super excited, and then I saw this review, and I was just so, oh God, and what did we do, and whatever, and I felt bad because I don't like, upsetting people, and I got instead of, what I normally would have done, probably would have like taken his screen name and then figured out who he was.
Right.
But
Did
I
this
wasn't.
FBI deep dive.
Right. I was just like, oh my God, delete. Like I didn't want it to be on our page, number one, but the thing is, by and large, we've had such great and positive experiences. We have such great people like George from Horror Weekly, like the New World Pictures podcast, like $2 late fee, God damn, like so many people, because the show itself has evolved so much from the time that we started doing this, like from the time we started doing this out of, my bedroom at my mom's, basically.
Right.
And where it's at now, in my opinion, is just a more authentic, more transparent, more us place,
Yeah.
We
No,
really
this
have.
is definitely who we are.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
yeah,
Oh,
once we
100%.
hang up the mic and everything, we're gonna go on the rest of our day being these exact people. This is definitely not a, persona that we put on for you guys. This is
No.
who we are Monday through Saturday as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the fun thing is that when the show started, the show was produced and edited by somebody else. And I essentially what I would do is Hillary and I would record, or I would record with somebody else, and then I would pass it on to this person to edit and do his stuff. But he kept coming back with the same note. And the same note, I don't think I ever told Hill this, but like the same note, which was, you guys are, you guys need to stay on track. You guys are all over the place. You're going off on all these tangents, and you need to bring it back, basically. So this happened a couple times where I was like, oh shit, okay, I guess I gotta do that, Because there's this idea when you first start podcasting of, well, my podcast has to be like every other podcast, right? Like it has to follow a format and it has to have this. And I did have a format in the beginning, like of the way it was supposed to go. But after Reform School Girls, that was the moment that I had my come to Jesus moment where I thought, this is what I want the show to be. I want it to be, an equal amount of our friendship, the facts about the movie, how much we love it, fun, and just celebrating the film in general. And I don't care where it goes during that time, And so needless to say, that person is no longer with us. Like, I mean, he's not dead, but he doesn't
We didn't kill them off,
we didn't kill him off. He just doesn't edit the show anymore. And so
He didn't get
I,
it.
no, he didn't get it. And I took over as producer and editor, and friend of the show, Pete, always jokes. He's like, you don't edit anything. Like, and I was like, oh, there's a lot of shit I edit, actually.
She'd make that just like the stuff that we left on the, cutting room floor.
I'll be honest with you, Pete, there's a lot of stuff that we edit that we don't actually put in the show. But I didn't know how to do any of that. And I reached out to a friend of mine in Australia named Ellie, who was a podcaster, and she had this really cool podcast called Get Soft, which was essentially about like softcore movies throughout the history. And it was so fucking good. And so like she took the time on Zoom from Australia to teach me how to edit and produce a show.
I never knew that.
Yeah, Ellie's the shit. I love Ellie very, very much. And it's funny because all of the research that I do on the actors and all the research I do on the show is specifically from listening to Ellie do all of her research for her show at the time. Was I was like, oh, cool, I really want that. So I stole that, but no, she really took the time, and I felt stupid for the longest time because I couldn't. I would watch video after video about Audacity and video after video about different editing software, and then I would end up in tears because I was like, I can't figure this out. And she just took the time and showed it to me in layman's terms. I figured it out. Then I started editing our shows, and the rest is history. This show is, it's my research and Hillary's magic. That is how I would put it. 100% is that the show would not be the show without Hill and I collectively. Like, that's just how it is.
Thank you. No, huge shout out, Ellie, but yeah, like a Erin is absolutely like, the mama bear of the show. She came up with the idea, created it, I was took the time out to learn the editing and the producing and setting up emails and responding to fans, like all of that stuff. That is all Erin completely. I have the absolute best fucking job, if we're gonna say, that there's work involved. But yeah, I just watch movies that I love and talk about them with one of my best friends. It's greatest gig I've ever had.
It's awesome, man. It's like that's the thing I look forward to on the weekends is like, oh, it's Sunday, you know, and like the just the excitement of it and whatever. All right, so name a genre you don't care for and why.
The creature features?
Yeah, 'cause you're like not a monster gal.
No.
Okay.
It just, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just, if I'm being attacked by a crocodile, I don't care if it's a crocodile or a 100-foot crocodile with radioactive, laser eyes. Like, it doesn't matter to me. It's just, it doesn't move me in any way except for I'm annoyed. So,
Oh, okay. I like
it
that.
just, it annoys me. Whereas
But to that point, you love Jaws.
the original Jaws, I mean, it changed the world.
Right. So
Like,
that's so it's I wonder if it's that it's, so creatures, 'cause like now we're getting into Christie territory here, right? Because Christie brought up a good portion of questions for this show that we actually had to do some self-searching about. But when you are referring to creatures, are you referring to werewolves, Frankenstein, that level, or are you referring to like creatures that come from the sea? Or
referring to like the animal creatures,
okay.
to me, while I understand, yes, vampires and zombies are creatures because like they're not human, whatever, that's not who I'm referring to. I'm really referring to, the crazed gorilla or,
Okay, yeah. I gotcha. I gotcha.
those sort of, piranha
Something's been
doesn't.
genetically modified. Hillary doesn't like it.
I don't like Zombievers, watched it for a kick, but
That's a
it
one and
like
done.
yeah it just I don't care. Yeah, it doesn't matter if the fish are in the sea. I do think Jaws is a classic, but then I'm not like the Jaws 2 3D on and on and on.
Okay, which is funny just because like I love like sea creature movies. Like we know
Yes.
this obviously. Like I love Leviathan. I have a Deep Star 6 poster framed on my wall. Like I do really love the underwater sea creature movies. So, yes, that is where we part ways. But I guess my least favorite, I think, of genres would be home invasion. That is something that I am utterly terrified of, number one. And so like movies like Vacancy, Funny Games, those, like, even though I have a high respect for the art of it, obviously anybody who goes out and makes a movie and and creates it, edits it, whatever, and releases it, I'm like, my hat is off to you, sir, or imagine. And I think that the main thing with the show was that I was tired of listening to podcasts where people were just shitting on film just to shit on the film, right? Like that was just their whole thing. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we took a movie that other people shit on and find some sort of a gem in there, you know? Oh my
And
God.
I hate it when people are just shit on something just to shit on it.
Yeah.
Like it's so easy to be like hateful and mean and mock someone, but like did you produce a film? Did you sit down, come up with the idea, write out a script, direct it, shoot it, edit it, do all of the things from start to finish? Like, have you done that? Oh, no? Oh, okay. All right, go, sit back down on the couch and, yell at the players on the TV with the balls.
Yeah, I know. It's just it always just struck me as like, wow, that's amazing. There's so many negative podcasts
Yeah,
about film, but there weren't a whole lot of just celebratory ones. And and I blame Ted Lasso for this thing, because to be honest with you, I wanted it to be the Ted Lasso of B movie podcast. That's essentially what it started off as. It was like a positive a positive podcast about a not so positive genre, right?
right.
And then it evolved from there into, something about two people relating to the story or relating to our history with the film or how we personally relate recovery to it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
No, and
so.
I loved that. If you had asked me to like come on and, hey, let's, tear apart some film, yes, I would have come on. We would have done that, and I'm sure done it very well, and I'm sure it would have been really funny. But it wouldn't have interested me, like long term.
Right. That's the thing, because there's only so much negativity. You
Yeah,
know what I mean?
I don't want to rip something apart just for kicks.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't move me, it doesn't interest me. I love trying to tell people why Reform School Girls is amazing.
Fast zombies or slow zombies?
So fast zombies scare me more, but like the science scientific inaccuracy of why you would have fast zombies, because going off like true zombies would be dead humans. Like those would not be the infected rage. To me, those aren't zombies. That's something else.
Oh, right, because that's like a virus.
You're right.
Yeah.
Viruses and zombies, they're not dead yet.
Yep.
So it they have for them to be zombies, you would be dead and decaying. So you becoming faster while losing like joints and everything does not scientifically make sense to me. So I
Okay.
actually hate fast zombies.
Ooh. Okay, I like that. So to your point, I prefer. Okay, so let's just talk about the history of Aaron with zombies for a second. I before this show was not a zombie person. I saw the remake of Dawn of the Dead in the theater. I fucking loved it, but I fucking loved it for very specific reasons, having nothing to do with the fact that it's a zombie movie, having everything to do with the soundtrack, the editing, the script, all of it. I thought it was fantastic. I love the cast. If you took all of that away and it was just a zombie movie, I probably wouldn't have been as excited. I probably watched the first season of The Walking Dead, and that was kind of it. So I wasn't a big zombie person. Now, in stark contrast, my boyfriend's favorite movie of all time is Night of the Living Dead. So that's where we, but during this show, you brought Fido to the table. And Fido was a game changer for me because I was like, okay, I do like this zombie film. Okay. And then I started really getting into Italian horror zombies. And there is something about, even though they are slow, there is something about nasty, disgusting, maggot-filled, falling apart in some ways, but also just wanting to do you harm,
Yeah.
because Italian zombies are not there for the brains. They're there to cause you physical pain. They're there to rip you apart. They're there to stick, wood in your eye. They're really bad.
Italian zombies are mean.
Italian zombies are just mean. So yeah, Italian zombies for me. So slow zombies, I'm a slow zombie person. Yeah, because it's almost like there's so many of them.
That's what it is for me.
Yeah.
It's the constant, like they keep multiplying and there's just no stopping it. They are coming and like there is no I'm safe here. Like that does not exist. Just the idea of a horde and it's hungry and it's non-stopping and it just that machine like come at you. And taking out one, there's still 100 more. Just the exhaustion of it, you cannot take care of yourself. You can't rest. You like all it. I find zombies to be absolutely terrifying. I love the conversations with people of like, how would you survive a zombie apocalypse? And I am to an age now where
I
it would
would
be.
not.
No, I go the
No.
second we introduce zombies to like this political hellscape. I'm going and I'm getting a hot shot of dope and I'm clocking out.
You're still on that. I was wondering if you were still if at your ripe old age you were still like, yep, I'm shooting up no matter
Yep. I'm
what.
shooting up. I'm going out. Like I don't want to survive. And my sister is horrified with that answer. She was just like, I thought you've been clean for a decade. And I was just like, zombies change. Zombies change the game.
Yeah, once you introduce that level of horror, I think
Yeah.
it's over for
Yeah,
you.
I don't want to. I don't possess enough skills that I become valuable. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a good shot. I bring nothing to the table besides like witty quips. You know what I like?
I don't think I would be exactly like I think I would make people laugh.
Right?
And but like I'm not gonna sew anything. Like
No, I'm not cooking dinner. I'm not
Right.
planting
Planting
vegetables. I'm not a
vegetables,
good runner. I'm not going to tend to the children. I don't bring anything to the table that like people would be like, no, we can't lose her. You
fuck them
can't
kids,
lose,
yeah.
the witty girl with the good one-liners, 'cause God, I need a good chuckle after the
Right.
murdering
Nope.
today.
Nope. Not at all. We bring nothing to the table. What movies made you decide to start a podcast? So this was all born out of the fact that it was during the pandemic, and that was when I kind of discovered podcasting in general, just podcasts in general. And someone did a podcast about hard bodies, and it was a bunch of men, and they just skewered it. And I was like, well, jeez, okay, but tell me why. Like, you can't just be like, this movie's fucking stupid. Like, it's like, no, I don't, well, I need to know why. So I then looked for positive podcasts about hard bodies and couldn't find it. Like, I couldn't find any podcasts about hard bodies. Like, nobody gave a shit about hard bodies, right? So I just decided, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna grab some B movies out of the vault, you know, like I'm gonna grab some Skinemax, I'm gonna grab some whatever, you know, get my friends together and talk about them and see where it goes, basically, is where it started. Then Hillary comes along and it was more culty. It was more, you know, Basket Case and Reform Schoolgirls and Rabid and Slaughter
Slaughter
High
High.
and
I love that
Pieces,
episode.
right? So it kind of evolved then, but then it also evolved past that to the point where sometimes we just pick movies and they don't necessarily have to be a Skinamax movie, a B movie, a trash film. They just have to be a movie that we relate to. Like the fact that we have kind of grown, you know, sort of not past it, but like grown in addition to it, you know, because we still do. We will still pull out, you know, our B movies, but we also will give really good films like Let the Right One In
Yeah.
or Speak No Evil.
Yep, speak no evil.
Speak No Evil, you know, and we are also more open-minded to the other person's ideas. We didn't really bring ideas to the thing. I just basically had a spreadsheet and that was it. And now it's like if she comes up with something and she'll text me and she'll be like, "Hey, have you seen this?" And I'll be like, "No." And then I'll watch it and be like, "Yes, absolutely, let's do this." You know, it'll be, you know, if it evoked an emotion from me in some way, then that's, you know, it. So that's probably how we decided that was going to be our particular like flavor. And I think that the only constant in our flavor is that it's ever changing.
Yeah, no, it is a, very obviously, as I've discussed, Erin is absolutely Mama Bear to the podcast. And yeah, watching it has definitely evolved, to like, from the B and cult and trash films. To you know then like they're you know the fan favorites and the you know buy me a coffees and just hey I watch this and you know I mean you getting with Slink has definitely opened your eyes to that you know horror has continued past 89, which you know has opened up so many new movies that we can do. And you know that there is still good horror coming out and being made, and I love it when you'll you know send me you know hey have you seen this? And I'm just like, oh, I love that movie. Oh, put it on the list. I love this. I can't wait to talk about this. And that you know I definitely love that you know we cover you know horror from the 70s up to you know the 2020s now, like, and it's just
Yeah, because there was
whatever
only
we want.
so many 80s films we could do before we
Right.
ran out of shit to do, you know?
Yeah, if you want me to love on it, we're gonna have to visit another
Decade, please.
decade.
That's right. Yeah, I do. I absolutely credit Slink with that because I was a little myopic in my taste with things where I was very much like, nope, this is how it is. Like, I was very much like my father in that my father truly believed that the day the music died, like the day that Buddy Holly's plane went down, like the day that that all happened was literally the day that he stopped listening to music. So to thank God later on in my father's life, he then decided that there was other music after this.
There we go, Dad.
But I very much became my father when it came to film because I was very much like, I don't want to watch new movies. I don't like new movies. I don't respect new movies, whatever it was. And then, yeah, no, I got with Slink, and Slink was like, introduced me to a bunch of things I'd never seen. And to this day, he will, you know, say like, "Hey, would you like to watch this movie with me?" And 9 times out of 10, it's good. Like 9 times out of 10, I'm like, "Oh my God, yeah, he recommended something, and it's really cool, and now I really like it." You know, so there's something to be said for that because that is a big deal. Like living with somebody who's just like, "Here, try this," you know, and
Yeah.
that's helpful. That's definitely, and it's like I said, it's helped the show.
Yes, very much helped the show that we can now really
Oh yeah.
so many movies are on the table that, you know, we could do this till we're, you know, 70.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Christy came up with some of the most unusual and wild questions for us that we actually had to sit down and think about and write. So thank you, Christy, for that. She was worried that they would be embarrassing or explicit, and I said that's pretty much our wheelhouse, so please
Right.
keep it going.
No such thing, Kristen.
No such thing in our area. Okay. Oh my God. Top five horror villains you would hook up with. Because Christy pointed out something very good, which is that although she loves David Howard Thornton, she would never hook up with Art. Although she loves Robert Englund, she would never hook up with Freddy. Totally understand that. So this took some thinking, man, because I had to kind of divorce myself from the actor and think about the character themselves. And after making this list, I will say I need to talk to a therapist.
Yeah, no, my list is
Yeah, I was looking at it and I was like, wow, this is inappropriate. But okay, yeah, and like I said, these are not based on the actor. These are based strictly on, you know, anyway, all right, what are some of yours?
we doing one for one?
One for one, let's do
All right.
it.
Tony Todd, Candyman.
Oh shit. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
I didn't think I needed to explain that any further.
You don't. You don't. In fact, I think I said that the other day. Like I said to Slink, I was like, "Hey, so next time we're screwing around, can you say be my victim?"
Yeah.
And Slink was like,
Yeah.
I was like, you know, because you're tall and weird. Like, let's make this work.
Yeah, let's make this as weird as we possibly can
Absolutely.
in a while being in a safe environment.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, that's the definition of a healthy sex life right there. It's like, can we make it
Yep.
weird and kinky and safe? Thank you for that.
Yep.
Okay, Warden Sutter from Reform School Girls, played by Sybil Danning.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
get that. Yep.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
I
get
can get
that.
that. Just because here's the thing, and I mean Hillary and I joke about this. We have such a huge gay following. Like the show in general has such a huge, you know, queer contingent. Neither of us is a lesbian.
Which is shocking. The fact that I am not a lesbian is just like, it is proof that sexuality isn't a choice. Because if
Yeah.
there was a choice, that's sign me up. That's what I am choosing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not for lack of trying either,
No.
because I have had my fair amount of femme experiences, and after the third one, I was like, yeah, I don't think that I like women like that. Like, to put it as bluntly as possible, I eat pussy like Shirley Temple is stuck in a war movie. Overly enthusiastic and completely out of place. You know, just popping her head up every now and again, being like, hey, like, you know, like, is this good? And so that's
The
100%.
funniest fucking sentence I've ever heard.
I thought I lost you on that one. I think
No,
you went out of frame.
I'm so in love with that sentence.
That's right. I eat pussy like Shirley Temple in a war movie. Okay. But just, yeah, completely. Like, I've tried. And so I always like to say that I appreciate women. I appreciate the female form. I appreciate how women are. I appreciate the femininity of it. I just, you know, can't get on board with the diving. So Sybil Danning, Warden Sutter, absolutely. Because I always said that if I was going to go, you know, go back and try it again, I guess. I would want to be with somebody who knew her way around a vagina. And I feel like Sybil Danning, Warden Sutter, 100% leather mama that she is with the fucking riding crop and the boots,
Yeah.
she knows her way around a vagina.
She does. And yeah, no, she's gonna give you real solid instructions. It's yeah. Yeah, no, you'll know what you're doing by the time you get out of there. Yep.
Okay, go.
Triangle Head from Silent Night.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. We don't need to know why. My next one would be Leslie Vernon from Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Yeah, no, that tracks. Yep, I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel just like that character. He has a really good sense of humor, and sense of humor goes a really long way with me.
I was thinking like the little gay man from like Will and Grace.
You were thinking of Leslie
Yeah, Leslie, you're that's why I was like, real hot take. It's so much mashed parts, and what was he in that where he was a villain? What I you know
Yeah.
maybe I just didn't recognize him because you know I have the opposite brain as Slink where nobody sticks in there, but
Yeah.
Leslie Vernon, not
Yes.
Leslie Jordan,
That.
yeah. Any of the Lost Boys, except for Bill from Bill and Ted.
Okay, so anybody but Alex Winter. Okay,
Yeah.
so well, yeah, because Jason Patrick was a cutie.
Jason Patrick get it. Fucking Kiefer can get it. Worth can absolutely get
Oh, Billy
it.
Worth, man. That's so
Oh.
crazy.
Yeah, no, any of the Lost Boys other than Alex Winters.
All right, got it. Okay. Mary Lou Maloney from Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Surprisingly, number of women on my end for someone who can't eat pussy. But
Yeah.
yeah, that's.
On that track, Baby from House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I see it. I absolutely see it. That makes a lot
Yeah.
of sense. Okay. So while we're playing that, Mama Firefly from Devil's Rejects, because I have a Leslie Easterbrook thing. I would say Mama Firefly from Devil's Rejects. Yeah, like,
Okay.
yeah,
All right.
absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, you got mom, I got daughter. Got it. And keeping it on the Rob Zombie train, Michael from Halloween Part One.
Okay. Is just the height?
Yeah, that height and the build and like, you know, that I know he killed Danny Trejo for no reason because he's just fucking evil, and it was such an important part of the movie to point out that he just murders. You know, he is, you know, it's not a, you know, Mike wouldn't fuck with me because I don't fuck with Mike, you know? And I absolutely love that scene of him killing Danny Trejo, of just like, I was always cool with you, Mikey. Like, why are you doing this? That, yeah, but I'm still gonna fuck him.
I could not come up with a horror villain that I wanted to bone. I was like, oh man. Yeah. So I will double down on the Candyman. Like I'll double down on Tony Todd as Candyman
Yeah.
just because you said that and I was like, that's great. Like whatever.
Oh yeah, no, that he as soon as I you sent me the question, so you know I wasn't a deer in headlights here, that it that answer was just like Tony Todd,
All
Candyman.
right. Love it. All right. George from Horror Weekly is asking, what in your opinion is the greatest music video of all time?
The greatest music video of all time is November Rain by Guns N' Roses.
Okay. I will absolutely agree with you on that, but I will say that the greatest bad music video of all time, just like in keeping with our, normal aesthetic, is Billy Squier's Rock Me Tonight.
Okay.
Because I mean everything from the silk sheets to the fact that he's just dancing around like a marching band leader on cocaine. I think at one point he pole dances. He tears off his like sort of midriff pastel top. It's just perfection. I can't. I really. I know that that was supposedly the nail in the coffin for Billy Squier's career. But as far as I'm concerned, if that fucking thing was released today, that would be stratospheric. Like that would be his win, in my opinion.
His moment in the sun.
Absolutely, his moment in the sun. But no, I will agree with you that I believe the greatest music video of all time is absolutely November Rain. 100%.
Yeah, when I was 14, I had an entire VHS tape that was nothing but me recording November Rain off of MTV, which played constantly. And that's all it was. It was the entire VHS. Yep.
It's just
Yep. Over and over and over again. And I played that VHS out. That I loved that the video and Slash in the desert and, you know, Stephanie, the gorgeous model in the wedding dress that was like, you know, half an inch above like inappropriate. And I was just like, oh,
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna wear.
yeah, that's the
Like,
kind of wedding dress you need two hairdos to wear, if you know what I mean.
right, yeah, she, love that video and yeah, it changed my brain when I saw it.
It. Somebody asked why horror, as far as the podcast is concerned, and I said, and I think the main reason is just because I think horror is probably what brought us together.
Yeah.
Definitely, like brought us together, which then leads into another fan question, which was they said that it seems like you and Hillary have known each other forever. How did you meet? And I will defer to Hillary on this because she tells the story the best.
I was coming out of a 12-step type meeting, and Aaron was sitting on the back of a car, and I was wearing my social distortion hoodie, And she was just like, I love your hoodie, man. And I was just like, thanks. And we just started talking. And then some loser boy broke my heart. And, you know, Aaron, you know, came to like my rescue, for lack of a better term. And, you know, picked me up because, you know, I was on my Chevrolet legs. That was my transportation. She came, she picked me up, she brought me to her home and like kept me safe all night where I was crying over something that don't make no sense today. just absolutely bananas. And we watched Night of the Comet.
Yep, we watched and... we basically opened up my my case logic. Oh, yep. Old reference there with yep. all my DVDs in it and just started picking out movies. And when I went to bed, I just left the case logic out there and Hillary went and explored and, you know, yeah. So thus the greenhouse for the germination of the show started on that couch.
Yep. And, you know, we just enjoyed each other's company and, you know, she just like made me laugh and gave me like a warm, safe home for a night when my brain was stupid and bad, you know, and since then, it was, you know, just went, Aaron is a safe place for me and vice versa. So, you know, it gives us a safe place to explore horror movies and, you know, feel unsafe.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main is the basic thing is I think we're from such diverse worlds, you know, like I'm from Florida, you're from New Jersey originally. You know, you're an ex-con. I have never seen the inside of a police car before. so you actually bring, it's funny because you bring so much life experience to the show and also to our friendship and to my life in general. You know, because I have a tendency to think that everyone's inherently good and, you know, I have a tendency to Pollyanna out a lot. The fact that I have somebody who I can come to and share, you know, my anger, my rage, my discomfort with a situation and to have that sounding board is what is you know, is a testament to how strong our friendship is, just because I can always come to her. You know, she's always there in the way that I need her to be. Like, we show up for one another and have shown up for one another since the beginning, you know? So no, I'm very grateful for the fact that she is my best friend, but I'm also very grateful for the fact that she brought the podcast to life. I feel like the podcast was, you know, kind of finding its footing, but I feel like she really brought it to life. And I think that's the important thing to me.
Well, thanks. I love being here.
Okay, here we go. What is your process with the show?
We watch movies and then talk about them and Aaron makes some magic happen.
I think what they mean was, what is our process with creating an episode? I believe is what this person meant. I don't think they just meant. So that's a good question, though, just because I know we have a tendency to come up with the movie. If the movie is not brought to us by a fan, like, for instance, if a movie is brought to us by, like, you know, Buy Me a Coffee, we have a spreadsheet that we choose from and we just kind of round robin it, to be honest with you. It used to have sort of a rhyme or reason to it. Now, no.
Yeah, no, like, I did create, so I worked very, very hard, actually, on, like, a calendar spreadsheet.
It was great.
Yeah.
It's like classics. It was like, this month we're going to do classics and this month we're going to do, you know, foreign films and this month we're going to do that. And I was like, wow, this is really good. And then we just threw that out the window.
Yeah. And then like our fans showed up and it was just like, here are like coffees have carried this show.
Oh my God.
Like crazy. And thank you all so very much. You know, there was that initial idea, and I'll just own my side of the street on that, that all these coffees started coming in that I am so grateful for, but my knee-jerk reaction was, don't they fucking know that I worked hours on this spreadsheet and now it's garbage? The whole thing is ruined. So rude. And then it was just like, bitch, you ask people to do it. They showed up and showed out, showed so much love for you guys. And you have the audacity to be ungrateful even for 10 seconds? Fuck you, Hillary. And I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. That was shitty. So yeah, no.
Never shared that with me.
Oh yeah, no, that was my absolute knee-jerk reaction. I cursed talent out for it.
That's really funny. Well, because I, so let's just talk about the origin of Buy Me a Coffee. So we initially had thought about doing a Patreon, which essentially would be that you paid money and then we would have extra episodes for you, except that when it came down to it, we both, and I'm just going to say this, this is more on Hillary's side than my side, because Hillary has actual children who she takes care of. She runs a business. I really do not have a life at all. I could probably record three times a week and be totally fine. But that being said, we didn't have the time or energy to do a Patreon. We really didn't. And then somebody, and I think it was Drew, I'm gonna throw that out there, that I believe it was either Drew or Ryan. So my gentleman, I apologize if this was one or not the other, whatever, but either Drew or Ryan emailed me and said, why don't you guys do a buy me a coffee? And I said, well, let's buy me a coffee. And he said, well, people can buy coffee, you can fund the show with this, and then they can choose a movie. And we thought about it and we thought, well, that's fantastic. Like, that's so much easier, because in a lot of ways, it takes a lot of pressure off of us as to what movie we're going to do next, because we always choose from the Buy Me a Coffees first, because those are the people that have financially kept the show going, especially during things like hurricanes or Hillary's move to a totally different state. The things that we really needed provided for us, which were editing software and the Zoom account and those types of things, our fans have shown up and given money for that, and our way of paying it back essentially is to do the movie of their choice. We do have a no-no list, much like how porn stars have their no list, people they won't work with. We also have our no list, which essentially is, let's see, Human Centipede, Human Centipede 2. That just counts as one movie.
And three, just in
Yeah,
case
and
anybody was
three.
like, oh, well, they didn't
Yeah.
exclude three. Nope, three's on there.
Anything involving pooping in the mouth, so Sallow's out, whatever.
No
Okay.
Serbian
No
film, no
Serbian
Megan's
film.
missing.
No Serbian film. No Megan is missing.
I
No girl.
also can't do Requiem for a Dream.
Nope, can't do Requiem for a Dream. Cannot do Girl Next Door.
Nope.
So,
No train
because,
spotting for me.
yeah, because the
It
thing
can
is,
just,
those
yeah.
are movies that do not keep within the spirit of the things that were, because
Celebrating.
it would be really hard to find the good in a movie where a girl gets raped and tortured.
Yeah, I spit on your grave. I'm not gonna, I
Right.
just, yeah, oh yeah, it's 45 minutes of a girl being gang raped in the woods. Let's celebrate. Yeah, I can't, I couldn't do it and be real and authentic and sincere. Like, I have seen it. I understand why it exists, and it's not for me, and I can't come on here and pretend like I love this movie and I watch it and I'm
Yeah,
not, I'm
yeah,
not gonna do it.
yeah.
So,
Same for me with Last House on the Left. Like,
right.
I have a high amount of respect for that Wes Craven, Sean Cunningham chaos. But for me personally, yeah, that's just not for the show.
Yep, nope. I yeah, I'm it I just I can't be who I am and what the show is about. And if I can't come on here and pretend like to love a film that I don't love, because my personality is very, it is what it is. And if I don't love it, the fans are obviously going to know, and I'm gonna like phone it in, and it's not gonna be real, and then it's not gonna be fun, and then it's a real job, and I have enough of those.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that the essentially the process now is that we do pick a movie out of our Buy Me a Coffee hat, and I usually pick a day during the week that I watch it, usually like a Thursday or a Friday. I make my notes while I'm watching the movie. And it used to be that I watched the movie once for fun and then I watched it once for notes. But I found that it wasn't organic enough for me. So I found it's much easier for me to just be like, okay, I'm just going to do this and do the notes, and then the movie itself will present itself to me when we're doing the show. And then we meet up and we do the show, and then a couple hours later I edit it and it gets distributed out to the iTunes, Amazon Music, Spotify crew Monday at midnight, and that's all she wrote.
That's it. And then, you crazy kids, listen and laugh along with us, which still floors me that anybody is actually listening to us just be manic. But like, this feels like we just have people like listening into a FaceTime call with us.
Oh yeah, I
You
love
know,
that.
like just because this is what we would be doing. Just like, hey, I watched this movie. Did you like this? Oh, here's fun facts about that. Oh my God, this is what I was thinking about when this was happening. Blah 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 blah. And then we laugh and go about our day. And Aaron had a great idea of like, hey, let's record it and put it online and other people listen to it and go, oh my God, that's hysterical. We love this.
Yeah, so okay, so this is a really cool question. I love whoever thought this up. You are a coroner at a city morgue explaining the injuries of a dead body to hardened cops. What comically weird snack are you eating while you are explaining these injuries?
Just to make it really like comically weird, just because that was the sentence given.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's going to be Cheetos because then I
Okay.
have the weird orange dust fingers.
Okay, so mine would be, seriously, mine would be a chicken salad sandwich, because whenever you order a chicken salad sandwich anywhere, it's always falling out the sides, and it would just be falling all over this dead body.
Yeah, no, yeah, for me, it's the orange dusty fingerprints on the white sheet.
That's good. I like that. I like that so much. Our lovely Miss Christie wants to know, what are the most bonable creatures? I don't know. I'm like thinking about it, and I was thinking about probably creature from the Black Lagoon for me.
So,
I like to swim, so.
yeah, fun Hillary fact is the porn that I watch is hentai.
Oh, right. You're into the squid porn,
Yeah,
right? Right? Squid porn. Yeah.
yep. So, yeah, the tentacle, hentai monsters where, yeah, that is the porn that I like. I could go on a whole tangent out in the middle of nowhere, but yeah, no, I do love the squid tentacle porn. It's what I watch, it's what I like. So yeah, for yeah, it's the squid monsters with, dildo hands.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Which is funny because, in contrast, I've been watching the same pornographic film scene for the past 15 years. And it's just Marilyn Chambers on a pool table. So that's
If it's what
kudos.
works, it's
I was
what works.
going to say, hey, kudos if PJ can tell us which movie that is, because I'm pretty sure he knows. Okay, here we go. What was the first horror movie scene or movie that genuinely grossed you out?
Cabin Fever. when she's shaving her legs.
Oh my God. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, absolutely agree with you on
Oh.
that. I think mine because I have a roach phobia, like a serious phobia. Like I will party with spiders. I will totally, give a snake a wide berth, but if you get me anywhere near a fucking cockroach and it's on like Donkey Kong. So the horror film that I remember seeing as a kid that really just upset me as far as just made me sick to my stomach was Silent Night, Deadly Night 4, The Initiation. All of the cockroach stuff, all of it, the
Right.
cockroach menacing her in the apartment, the cockroach larva, the dude, there was the cockroaches in the spaghetti. All of it. And I think I was like 12 or 13 years old when I saw that, and that was enough for me to just be like, that's horrifying to me. Which
Yeah.
and no. No. Definitely not something that yeah, that's like the most genuinely gross thing that I can possibly think of. 'Cause like I'll watch, like I love Reanimator. I love just like, entrails and
Yeah, no,
weird
all of that
shit.
stuff, totally fine. No, roach and maggots, like they get me,
Yeah.
but that leg shaving scene,
Oh my God.
even
Yeah.
talking about it right now, I can
Yeah.
hear it, and it is crawling up my spine and hitting the base of my skull.
Okay. All right, here we go. Three hidden gem movies that you would recommend to somebody listening to our show. Not that we've done, but just that movies that we recommend.
Let's scare Jessica to death.
I still haven't fucking seen that. It pops up on my thing all the time. Is it really good?
I think it's brilliant.
Okay. Well, shit. Is that on the spreadsheet?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's in the spreadsheet over in like the category of like we should do these in like that extra column. Incident in a Ghostland.
Oh, what's that? Is that
There
foreign?
is, it is not foreign, but there is a home invasion.
Okay, all right, well.
Like Slink would probably love it and, make you watch it, but it knocked my socks off when I saw it. And I, we have done this one and I will talk about it till the day I die. Last Shift.
Oh yeah, Last Shift is on my list too. So three hidden gems for me would be Gravy.
Yeah.
Because for me, Gravy is the perfect combination of horror and comedy. Like it has that great 80s soundtrack. It's just it's a genuinely funny movie. If you take away the gore, then you add the gore, which is all practical, and it's just mwah, chef's kiss. I love that movie so much. The Last Shift, absolutely, because that was one of those ones that I didn't know anything about. You introduced me to, and I genuinely loved it. I loved every low budget minute of it. I thought it was
Yep.
fantastic.
Still scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, still scares the shit out of me. Loved it. And then I guess my other hidden gem that no one knows about, and I'm okay with it, is Out of the Dark. Out of the Dark is that's mine
Yep.
because, fucking guy dressed as a clown, phone sex girls, smoke, guitars, sex. Like as far as I'm concerned, it's a perfect film. So
Yeah.
so Out of the Dark. Okay. Is there a movie that you did a 180 on, either like as in liking to not liking or not liking to liking?
I really thought about this because I did want to give like a real answer, but nothing has come up. Like if I don't like it, I don't, I can respect like the art of something or whatever, but if I don't like it, I don't like it. But then also like the same is true. Once I love something, I love, even if it becomes problematic and oh my God, the main character is, a rapist and a pedophile, like horrific, hate that guy. I still love this movie.
Yeah. Okay,
It like
so I did a total 180 on Martyrs because I had never seen it. I was terrified to watch it. I knew about it, but I just didn't know. And so, yeah, I went into that feeling like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this, or I don't know if I'm gonna, whatever. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So,
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, because I was like, I was, I knew it was gonna be torture. Like,
Yeah.
I knew there was going to be torture involved. But I didn't, I just didn't know, the depths of it and the emotional complexities of it. And then when I watched it, I was like, this is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's. I remember when we were talking about it, and you were just like, but it, like, is it rapey? And I was like, not at all. Like,
And
it.
your response was, you'll wish it was rape.
Yeah, you'll wish. Rape would be better, actually. And, like, the look on your face was, and I was like, I know, I never thought I would say that. That's never a sentence structure I would think I would ever put together, but
Right.
rape would be better.
Hashtag, you'll wish it was rape. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my God. Okay, your first Hollywood crush.
Like Ralph Macchio is what's coming to mind.
Really? Ralph Macchio was yours?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, so mine was Cameron Dye because Valley Girl was a movie that I saw growing up and I was not a Nick Cage. Like, I was a Nick Cage, Nick Cage, right? But his best friend in the movie, with his suspenders and his punk haircut and his witty lines, I was like, I love Fred. Fred is my guy, right? So that was Cameron Dye. And then I was lucky enough that I would end up doing that Out of the Dark cast reunion where I got to interview him. And of course, I'm still fucking starstruck and my face turned bright red during it. And of course, I decided to wear a red and black dress. So, wore my hair down like an idiot, and then just like I said, face was just on fire the whole time and I'm sweating profusely. So, yeah, don't meet your heroes. But no, he was a absolute gentleman. So, that was my first Hollywood crush. Yes. Have you ever had to edit out more than 10 minutes of laughter from the show? And the answer to that is that's our girl Kim. Kim has asked a lot of these questions too. So that's our girl Kim. We love Kim Campbell very much.
Kim.
Kim. And the answer to that is no, because I don't edit out any of our laughter.
Right. Yeah, and what year is what you get?
So DJ from the fan base likes to know, how did you decide on this podcast as the podcast? What's the secret of our success? That's what the question is. Okay, so I defer to you on this. Like, why do you think people like the show? Why do you think we have fans? Why do you think people keep coming back?
Honestly, I still cannot understand why people are here, other than just to, hear the question. So they hear the movie of like, oh my God, they're, gonna do pieces next. Who is the character Hillary's not gonna recognize? Like, they're, this horror icon. What's Erin gonna get her trapped with? And I never know. But I guess people do want to hear positivity, which is what we bring. I think there are 2,000 other podcasts that, will just tear movies apart and destroy them. And I do think the fact that we bring positivity while being who we are, and also there is the message of change is possible and recovery is possible. Because a lot of people, are struggling with recovery. And, there are two women that are absolute, have gone through some shit, and yet, like, our successes now have been huge. Found each other along the way, and you can hear about, like, the struggles and triumphs, like, the funny times of, you know, being incarcerated and, you know, being, and not that those were like funny, but you know, you got to laugh at that shit because it's in the past and there's nothing you could do about it anyway.
Yeah.
I met a, you know, successful man that I'm wildly in love with, and I have struggled out the wazoo with three stepchildren and my in-laws, but like it's family and you love them, so
And
like,
they're all living in the same house.
yes, you know, family sticks together, man. So it like,
Amazing.
that's what it is, you know, and you just suck it up and you just keep moving.
That's amazing. I love that. No, I
So,
do. I think the secret to our success truly is positivity, is the fact that we've managed to stay positive in our own lives, like with things like the hurricane, with hurricanes plural, with things like moving, changing jobs, staying clean, staying in recovery, you know, that type of stuff is really just a testament to our friendship and how strong our spiritual base is, really. I mean, what it comes down to, it's not a religious thing either, man. No. No. You're a lapsed Catholic and I'm a lapsed Episcopalian, but we do you know, we do operate using the 12 steps, meaning we do operate using the just like don't be a dick, help the person in front of you, you know, keep it moving, you know. Clear out your past so your past doesn't come and fuck up your present, you know, basic shit like that. And then we figured out how cinema connects to that, you know, and then figure that out. Last question. What's scarier, old naked people or possessed children?
Possessed children.
Oh, wow.
Possessed.
Okay. Yeah.
Possession, scary as shit. Children, scary as shit.
Yep.
W take the devil out of them. Kids are scary.
Kids are indeed scary. All right,
Terrifying.
so as my grandmother would say, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, Hillary and I will be doing a side-by-side recording in the Carolinas next weekend of Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. So we're fingers crossed this happens, man. There's hurricanes all over the place right now. It's you know, God knows what's gonna happen. So
Keeping you.
thanks to everybody who listened. Thanks to everybody who reached out with questions. Thanks to everybody who supports the show. We love you guys very, very, very much. And as always, stay
Stay manic.
manic. That was better.